beginning in verse 2, and unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Ammon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmah, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggath, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abtai, and the sixth, Ithream, by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name, and how thankful we are for the salvation that's in him. And we ask in his name that you would be pleased to meet with us and to speak in power to our hearts from your word. Lord, grant us a worship service for the Lord's sake. Lord, we pray for your grace and mercy to be upon all of us. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. And Lord, give us grace to love you more and love one another more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 3 is about David becoming king over Israel. For 7 years, he had been king in Hebron, beginning when he was 23 up to when he was 30 years old. And then in chapter 3, we find him becoming the king of all of Israel, the United Kingdom. And there is a lot of sordid stuff going on in this chapter: politics, power, and sex. That's the main subjects of this. It's not something you would want to read to your kids before they go to bed at night. It is a very sordid chapter. Now, David is giving into worldly means to get what he wants. Abner is giving into worldly means and what he wants. But before we get into all that story, we read of the six sons of David. He had six sons while he was in Hebron. Now, he was a king. And kings could do whatever they wanted to do. If David said, regarding you, if he told his men, go kill him, they did it. His will was done. A king had absolute power. And David had absolute power. But every one of us have asked this question: was it okay for them to have multiple wives? Was it okay for them to have concubines? The answer is no. It was sin then, and it's sin now. Do you remember when people asked the Lord about divorce, and he took them back into the Garden of Eden? And he talked about Adam and Eve, the two becoming one flesh. And God has always meant for marriage to be a monogamous relationship between a man and a woman. The two shall be one flesh. It's never been okay for sexual sin, sex outside of marriage. And that's exactly what was going on at this time with David. And as a matter of fact, these boys that he had caused him all kinds of troubles. You can be sure he was sorry about these boys. They were trying to usurp his throne. There was a rapist. There was a murderer. I mean, these boys were something else. They caused him all kinds of trouble. And it never was okay. As a matter of fact, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 17, the king is forbidden to multiply wives unto himself. You see, he had power to do whatever he wanted. And if he wanted to say, take that woman, take her from her husband, bring her to me, they did it. That is the power he had. But it was sinful and it was wrong. And David lived to regret all the things that took place with this. Now, before I get into this, remember that the Lord overrules everything evil for good. And we have such a clear example of this in Bathsheba. Bathsheba, the Lord came through Bathsheba. And she's mentioned in that list of through whom the Lord... This was a sinful thing for him to do. It was a wrong thing for him to do. I mean, you think of what he did. He took another man's wife. He had that man murdered. That's the power the king had. He had that man murdered. It was a wicked thing. And God said the sword's never going to depart from your life because of this. But nevertheless, God overruled it all for good. And the Christ came through Bathsheba. Now, husbands and wives, marriage isn't easy, is it? Now, Lynn's got it made, but I know you all have it. What's funny is I probably really think that. Lynn says, you're so blind. But marriage is not easy. But I hope there's something that I hope we'll strike this from our vocabulary. I'm not happy. I'm not happily married. I'm not happy. That is the most self-absorbed thing to say. I'm not happy. I wish we would strike that from our vocabulary. I don't need to be happy. I need to do what's right. And if I do what's right, I'll end up being happy by it. Now, that's what's important, not being happy. Somebody says, I'm not happy. I'm not happily married. Well, we'll be a better spouse. Seek to be the best spouse you can be. Let's quit thinking about how your spouse is. How are you? How are you? I want to seek to be the best spouse I can be so Lynn is happily married. Marriage is not easy because you have two sinners together. You have two, and you know that's a recipe for all kinds of problems. But strike out, I'm not happy, and seek to be what the Lord would have you be. Now, through David's indiscretions, the Christ came. Turn to Genesis 45. And this is so comforting regarding everything. Genesis 45. This is when Joseph met his brothers. And you remember what his brothers did to him. They sold him as a slave. They told his dad he'd been eaten by a beast of some kind. And you think of the sorrow they put through their father through and how evil they were and how they treated their brother. I mean, there's no excuse for this. But look at this story, chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. The Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Now they knew their life was in his hand. He could have them executed just like that. And they were troubled. They remembered everything they did. I would be troubled too. They were troubled at his presence. They couldn't even speak. They couldn't get anything out. Verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Well, I wish I could have this attitude about everything that takes place. God did this. God did this. Instead of becoming so vexed and upset over what's taking place, God did this. He did it for good. Now, Joseph was the one who was abused too. But he said, don't be grieved with yourself. Don't be mad at yourself. God did this. What a beautiful belief in the sovereign God. He does everything. Now let's go on reading. Verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now listen to this statement. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Isn't that beautiful? God did this. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, with regard to everything bad that has happened to you and with everything good that has happened to you, and in reality, me and you don't know the difference between what's bad and what's good, do we? We really can't even give it an intelligent thought concerning what's gone on. We just don't know the picture, but we know this. God did it. Therefore, it's good. Turn to Genesis 50. Verse Verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. Now this is years later. Years later. Finally, Jacob dies. And they, as a man is, so he thinks others to be. This is the way we would be, so Joseph would be this way too. He's going to get us back now. The dad's gone. He's going to get us. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive all the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I'll nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now the reason I'm reading those passages of scripture is we look at David with his sin, with his sexual sin, with his indiscretions, all these wrong things that he was terribly wrong in doing, and he brought much sorrow into his life through these things. But let me remind you, the Christ came through this. I love that. It's just so glorious. The Lord has the ability and always does bring good out of evil. Only he can do this, and he does it. Now, do we say, well, then we don't need to worry about our sin? No, we don't say that at all. Our sin is all our fault, and we bring grief into our life in our sin. But yet we have this assurance, the Lord brings good out of evil. Now what about these boys? As a matter of fact, if you go on reading, we read of these six sons, and then 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we read of 12 other sons from a bunch more wives that he got when he was in Israel. And that doesn't include all the children from the concubines. And that doesn't include the women children. So there were a lot of children he had. But in here in this time in Hebron, in this 7-year period where he was the king of Judah, we read of six sons that he had. And why does the Bible point this out? Well, I wondered that, but I looked at the names of these boys. And in their names, we learn so much of the gospel. And in their names, we learn how the Lord brings good out of evil. Now, verse 2. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Ammon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. Now, Ammon means faithful. Faithful. The faithful God. Now, faithful means he can be completely trusted and relied on. He's the only one who can be. You can't completely trust any man. He doesn't have any control. He may make a promise, and I want to be good to my word, but there might be circumstances that make it to where I can't keep my promise. But that's not the way it is with the Lord. He is utterly faithful. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now notice the words, not merciful and gracious, although he is, but faithful and just. You see, if the Lord forgives your sins, it's not because you confess them. It's because he purposed to save you before time began. And his will is always going to be done. He's faithful to do whatever it is he purposed to do. That's why your sins are forgiven. Not because you confessed, but because he is faithful to do what he promised. You see, if your sins are forgiven, it's because you were included in that covenant. And you're saved for Christ's sake. And he's faithful to forgive us of our sins. And I like this next word too. He's just to forgive us of our sins. You see, the very justice of God demands the forgiveness of every believer. Isn't that amazing? You see, my sins have been paid for, and I stand before God justified. And so he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Don't you love the faithfulness of God? He's utterly dependable, utterly reliable, utterly predictable in that sense. He's predictable. He's always going to be as he is. He's faithful because he's immutable. And his mom's name was Ahinoam, and that means my brother is delight. My brother is delight. Christ is my elder brother. He's the brother born for adversity. And my brother is delight. He's a delight to his father. And listen to this. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11 says, both they who are sanctified, him that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to own me or you as his little brother. He's one of mine. What a beautiful type of the gospel is found in the name of the Son and the Mother. Now look once again in verse 3. And his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. You remember the story of Abigail and Nabal and David. We looked at that some months ago. But they had a child named Chileab. And Chileab means like his father. Like his father. Now, who does that pertain to? Christ Jesus is completely like his father because he is the father. Now, how can you say that? I don't know, but the Bible says it. The Lord says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Didn't he say that? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God is one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and Christ is like his Father. And his mom's name was Abigail, which means my father is joy. And that's the testimony of the father toward the son. My father is joy. You think of the joy that exists between the father and the son. You know, just thinking of the joy that exists between them makes us joyous, doesn't it? Makes us happy. I like thinking about it. And I think of the joy that there is in believing the gospel. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. And what comes out of righteousness? That's having his righteousness. What comes out of that? Peace. And what comes from this peace? Joy in the Holy Ghost. My Father is joy. Verse 3. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Now you know what grief Absalom brought on David. He plotted for years to take David's place. And there's a lot of chapters involved to this problem he had with Absalom. But you know what Absalom's name means? I love his name. My father is peace. My father is peace. Peace. My father's at peace with me. My father's at peace with me because of Christ. When the father looks at every one of his children, he has perfect peace. Now that's the glory of the gospel. You know this, well, I'm not going to say it, I don't want to steal my thunder for the morning's message, but I am aware of so much sin within me, and yet I know that the Father is at perfect peace with me through the gospel. And I have peace. The peace of God that passes understanding because of the gospel. My Father is peace. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Absalom means peace. And his mom, I think you pronounce her name Maacah, her name means oppression, and that comes from the word proud. And I have peace because I see that I'm not oppressed. I don't have anything to be proud about. Christ did it all, but my peace is totally outside of me. It doesn't have anything to do with anything I've done. I have peace from this oppression. And then in verse 4, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. Now, he is another man who tried to usurp the throne, and Solomon ended up having him killed because of doing it. He did this while David was still alive. But his name means, my Lord is Jehovah. Adonijah, my Lord is Jehovah. And what a blessed thing it is to say, my Lord is Jehovah. He's the Lord of my life. He's my Lord. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. That's what every believer can say. I am my beloved's. What belonging to Christ? What a blessed thing. Jehovah is my Lord. And his mom's name means festive. Festive. You know, this is a reason to have a party, isn't it? If Jehovah is my Lord, this is a reason to celebrate. And it's talking about having a party. This is a reason for happiness and joy. If the Lord is my Lord. And then the fifth son's name was Shephatiah, the son of Abital. Shephatiah, the son of Abital. Now, Shephatiah means God has judged, or Jehovah has judged. Now, the reference here is that our salvation is a just salvation. It's based upon the judgment of God, the absolute strict righteousness and judgment of God. The justice of God, the very justice of God, demands the salvation of all of God's elect. He's found a way to be just and justify the ungodly. And our gospel is a righteous gospel. It's based upon the judgment of Jehovah. And his mom's name means my father is the dew. This is the dew that moistens our dry hearts. Justification. Anytime you think of, by the grace of God, you think of Christ's justifying work for you, that moistens your heart. Moistens my heart right now to know that all that God requires of me I have, and that I'm just before God. My Father is the dew. And then the sixth, verse 5, and the sixth, Ithream by Eglah, David's wife. Ithream means the prophet of the people. Now who is that but Christ? The prophet. And I'm not talking about the prophet in a prophet speaking words, but P-R-O-F-I-T, prophet. Christ is the prophet of the people. Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now that's my prophet, isn't it? He's the prophet of the people. He's the benefit of the people. And then his mom's name means heifer. Heifer. His mom was a... Call her heifer. What a name for a woman. But what do you think that the ashes of the red heifer? A heifer was used for sacrifice. The reason he's the prophet of the people, the reason of his benefit is because of his sacrificial death on Calvary's tree. Now, these boys brought great sorrow into David's life. And there is nothing good that comes out of sexual sin. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to be faithful to our spouses at all times. There's nothing good that comes out of that. But isn't it glorious to see how the Lord overruled every bit of this? Now, none of these sons came to prominence, not like except Solomon, and he hadn't born yet. He wasn't born in Hebrew. Solomon came to prominence, but the rest of them caused David nothing but problems. And you understand what David meant when he said, "Although my house be not so with God." His house was not so with God. His house was a mess. And he was talking about this house too. "Although this house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire." Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to get into the chapters 3 and 4 about David's ascent to the throne and what all took place for that to happen. Okay.